today's guests, Faith Bartle, as well as No Interruptions. Musical guests, a couple slamming doors, and your hosts, Gianni Trowbridge and Mike Calhoun.
Ooh. You know what? I have that theme play every time, but I think it just gets better and better. Every episode, it gets better and better. I don't think it'll ever get old. I made it myself. What can I say? I can't say that I play those instruments. Well, I could say that. It would be a lie, but I will say it. I play those instruments.
I mean, you can play them and not have them sound like that.
You're right. I could play them and they could sound better.
Right.
I know where you were going with that,
exactly,
Faith.
Exactly, right.
Hello, Internet people. I am Mike Calhoun. Welcome to this week's episode of The Unbelievables. Joining me, of course, is my co-host, Gianni Trowbridge.
I am your friend.
Okay. All right. Strange. Our guest today, you may have heard her already. You know what? You did hear her already. If you're a regular listener of the show, she was on episode 2. Dose.
A little trivia Easter egg.
Faith Bartle is here. Hello,
that's
Faith.
Me. Hello.
Welcome back to the submarine.
Thank you for having me.
We're so happy to have you. You feel free to move that microphone anywhere that's comfortable. I don't want you to feel like you're having to lean in or be uncomfortable at any point. As you can see, my very relaxed state.
I like to be as uncomfortable as possible.
During podcasts?
Yeah.
Protestant
upbringing. Makes me more devout.
Right. Yep. Keep the straight back. Mm-hmm. Don't speak about your feelings.
Right.
Don't say a word.
Mm-hmm.
Don't talk about it.
Keep everything bottled up
everything,
this entire podcast.
Yeah, but you put on as many layers when you go to church so to hide your shame.
Right.
Don't let anyone know.
You know, I'm going to button my top button right now.
Oh, okay. Feel free. I don't want you to feel too relaxed around me. Around us, of course. Sorry, Johnny.
5 days.
Okay. What was I going to say? Do you think that's why people dress up when they go to church? I've always suspected this. Because I went to church for quite a long time of my life. And I always noticed the way that people wanted to project their finer clothings. And I think it's just they were hiding things.
They're definitely hiding things, but my parents always like to say that God doesn't care what you look like on the outside. He only cares what you look like on the inside, but they only said that when you were taking too long getting ready to go to church.
Oh, so you think that, God is more interested in our innards, like our guts?
Yes.
Right, God is very vain, but only as it concerns the internals.
He's extremely vain regarding the internal organs.
Right.
I have some words for him. I think he shouldn't have put the entertainment system right next to the waste disposal, if you know what I mean. I think he put those two parts in the wrong positions.
That was poorly planned.
I think he was when he had the blueprints of humankind.
Well, I think he probably just like started at the top. He was like, "This is a face and a head.
This is the best, most important part. Right. We're going to make people look at this,
mm-hmm. Right? And look with this, and then
There you go.
Like he drew that part, and then he ran out of time, and he was like, "You know, I'll just wing the rest of it."
Do you think he drew literally with like a pencil?
See, right. It was like a Leonardo da Vinci sketch. And,
right.
Yeah,
it was like
there's a face. Yeah, the Vitruvian man.
The Vitruvian man.
And he was like, there's too many arms and too many legs on this picture. I'm going to cut those off and then the face is good. And then, oh, no, I need to put something for sex and something for peeing.
Yep.
And
why not put them in the same spot?
Why not
stick them right there? He ran out of spots,
right.
Really, was what it was. Hey, he should have stuck with Da Vinci's first idea, just putting them in those extra limbs.
Exactly.
Everyone knows God got the idea for man from Leonardo da Vinci. Oh, Leo. Hey, pour one out for you, Leo. He's one of the OGs. But the thing I've thought about with Leonardo da Vinci, he's regarded as a genius in many different aspects.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that if he were alive in a later date, such as Mark Twain's period,
mm-hmm.
that he would be a similar a Mark Twain-esque character? I've always thought this, that he would be a kind of a commentary comedian,
right,
man.
Like pithy sayings.
Right.
I don't know. I heard he was a little reclusive.
Oh, okay.
I heard he liked to go down to the market and, like, free birds from cages because he didn't like seeing them all locked up.
Really?
Yeah.
What a nice little man.
Yeah, but also, like, that's some hell for the shopkeepers.
Absolutely. Just, you know how long it takes to catch a bird? A long time. If you're trying to lasso them with, like, some dental floss, mm-hmm. I've done it. I mean, I've never succeeded, but sure. I've tried.
Right.
Well, have you ever tried to catch a bird with a lasso?
Usually I like to take a lot more time for a lot less success. So I make a large net, like a butterfly net,
okay.
out of toothpicks and pipe cleaners to try to catch a bird.
Okay.
And of course, it's very weak structurally. So
it's true.
You catch a bird, and then they leave.
They leave just immediately.
Immediately.
So they don't even escape. They just they get caught, and they realize, hey, this
yeah.
isn't nice.
Then
and you
self-actualize.
Go, oh, I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
And you remove the net, and they go, well, I'm leaving.
Right, and then they're like, I'm going to go eat some French fries out of a garbage
can. Yeah. Yep. You see those French fries? They're just free for the taking.
Right.
I'm taking them.
Exactly.
Birds get the best food.
They do.
They
and
truly
for free.
And for why can't you know what? That's my when I run for president. That's my welfare plan. We're all just going to get free food
mm-hmm.
from the waste of other people.
Right, and you have to fight the birds for it.
Oh, that's not too bad. I can fight a couple birds. I think I could take on at least three birds.
Now, here's the question, though. Would you rather fight one horse-sized duck or five duck-sized horses?
Now, horses can cause a lot of trouble with them back hooves. I've mm-hmm. been stricken by them before. Now, if they're that small, like maybe the size of a Pomeranian,
mm-hmm.
might not be so bad.
Right.
I think I might be able to just kick them myself and get a little revenge.
Mm-hmm.
I think I might go for the five duck-sized horses.
I agree, because a duck-sized duck is frightening enough.
Absolutely.
But a horse-sized duck.
Oh, my God. I mean, it'd just swallow you in one bite.
Absolutely.
And it wouldn't hesitate to do so.
Right, and then it would move into your house, and it would eat all of your bread. And it would take your family as its own.
I have so much bread in this submarine. Well, here's the thing. Ducks don't frequently go underwater.
True.
Now, can I escape this horse-sized duck by getting onto my sub and never leaving?
Presumably, you can escape most things, including responsibilities.
Hence the sub.
Yeah.
Hence the submarine. That's very much a reason why we got it, isn't it, Johnny?
Yes, Lord of Flesh.
Oh, okay. I don't know what's up with him. He's acting strange. He's acting a little strange. He's looking at me weird now.
Yeah. He's never been quite normal, but to see him act stranger is...
How long have you known Johnny? Johnny, how long have you known? You guys known each other for a while? Okay. Well, I'm going to rely on Faith's answer, considering that was weird.
I've known Johnny since high school, so we graduated in 2011.
At the old CVCA?
The old CVCA.
Good old alma mater. What's the song you guys can
we
sing?
Will
I'd love for you two to sing it together.
Yep, it's
old royal
royals are the
defeated are
most
wholesome
children.
Oh my God, I love that song. See, I thought I heard it before.
Mm-hmm, yeah,
and I was right.
Right. Yeah, it's a classic.
Through the halls, you know, on my visit,
mm-hmm.
it's just being sung in the classrooms.
All of us marching in our matching uniforms
yep.
and.
Picking out your wands.
Yep.
And getting fussed at by McGonagall.
Right. Well, I think you're thinking of a different private school.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I get them all mixed up. They
yeah.
all look the same.
You're not wrong. But I will assure you that CVCA was much less fun than Hogwarts.
Much less fun than the other one I have in mind?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's a bummer. It's a shame you couldn't have gotten into the better one.
Yeah, well, you know.
Don't we all try, though?
We do.
Again,
it was that Protestant upbringing. Explicitly anti-magic.
You know what? I experienced that myself, and I do recall an error maybe once or twice mentioned that magic is bad.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
witchcraft,
right.
wizardry is probably on the no-no list
right.
when it comes to Protestants. Man, they just bottle things up.
They don't like to have fun.
No expression.
If you're having fun, it suddenly it's instantly tainted by the fact that you're sinning.
It's the best feeling though when you just point out someone else's sin.
Yep.
The best feeling.
Absolutely.
Speaking of sin, I can't even. Oh, that's a terrible segue because I was going to talk about food because I'm a little hungry.
Hmm.
We might have a snack at the break. What do you say, Johnny?
Food is sin.
Okay. once again, I don't know what's going on with him. It's very frightening.
Mm-hmm.
Faith, what have you been getting up to lately?
You know, I've been working at my job, as we are all slaves to capitalism.
Slaves are sin.
Well, you an off-mic conversation we had earlier was that someone in your household may be bringing another person into the household.
Has brought, yeah.
It's already happened?
It's happened, yeah.
Oh, good heavens.
Two months ago, there is now a small person.
So 11 months ago, someone got some action.
Right, yeah. In those dual systems.
Yeah, in one of those dual systems designed by Da Vinci.
Uh-huh. And, you know, after that fun, we are now having, for 9 months, a lot less fun. And
of
then
course.
Now there's a baby who you can, like, make do anything. Like, it's a...
That's the best thing about babies.
They're
perfect. You can just program to...
Program.
Great props.
Yeah.
They're great improv props, you know?
Absolutely.
You make them into anything.
Exactly.
They could be fire, because you just distract them, they raise their hands, they're like, ah, and you're like, look, a campfire.
Right, yeah.
Roaring fire. They can be telephones, you can just hold them up with one hand. Tiny babies.
Tiny babies.
They're a great prop.
They're a perfect prop.
And they're great for you. You're an improv artist.
I am.
That's where people would normally know you from, if they know you from any performance
Right.
Unless you did stage work besides improv, of course.
I've not done formal stage work. I'm not good at knowing what I'm doing. I just have to do the thing.
Have you ever tried, or you say you're not good at it, but is it because you, from lack of trying, you expect you aren't?
I mean, any time there was a project in high school where I had to be filmed to do like a, you know, like in Latin class we did videos where we kind of mashed up like a modern thing, a mythology thing.
Okay.
And
in like a drama sort of thing?
Right.
And you had to write it down or write it out?
So every single time I would forget my lines, so I had them written on my hand. And then after very blatantly reading it from my hand, I would look straight into the camera.
So you did 100% of the things that you should not do as an actor on a film.
Right. And like after thinking very hard about not doing it and then practicing by not doing it, once it was go time, I would do it.
Do it absolutely immediately.
Immediately.
So, in a way, you were just making a statement like, I will not conform to your rules of film.
Maybe.
You're a trailblazer is what you are.
That's it.
That's
yes,
what it was.
That's exactly
you're
what it
blazing
was.
A trail. You're going to be the next Tarantino.
There, yes.
But you'll do it from in front of the camera only.
Right.
You'll just be making all sorts of new rules.
So I feel like Quentin Tarantino, and not to slander him because he has a lot more money than me, but I feel like he's definitely murdered people.
Yes.
You think Quentin Tarantino, famous director, beloved artist.
Right. Which is not to say,
yes.
Which is not to say films
of course.
Are bad.
I mean, I love a lot of murderers.
Sure.
And that's after I knew they were murderers. So I can't blame anyone for loving a murderer before finding out that he's a murderer.
Right. But I feel like there's no way you have that much like rage and aggression in your like imagination
right.
that you then commit to film and haven't murdered at least one just random stranger in like a Night Stalker kind of a way where
right.
it's not like he sat down and calculated all of it. He was just like, I gotta know
like, what the feeling is.
Right. I gotta know what it looks like when all of that blood is flying everywhere so that
point.
I can, you know.
So then he can recreate it and hopefully stop the urges.
Right. Right.
That's interesting. Mm-hmm. I don't know when he started filmmaking. I would guess a very young age, probably in his early teens.
Right.
So we can only hope that he was, from lack of muscle tissue,
mm-hmm.
he only was able to kill a few grifters
right.
before then moving on to film and just recreating them via scenes there.
Right.
I mean, the movie Dusk Till Dawn, he was just in it. That was Robert Rodriguez. Maybe he's a murderer too. Maybe they were co-murderers.
They could have been.
We've heard of co-comedians, like, you know, duos, stage
mm-hmm.
duos. Maybe they were doing performance art in that they were murdering people.
Right. The Abbott and Costello of killing grifters.
Of killing grifters and then later making indie films.
Right.
Man, I feel like we've uncovered something very substantial.
I think we have, and I think that is honestly the ideal trajectory. You want to go from murder to filmmaking, because when you go from filmmaking
right,
to murder,
right.
everyone knows you.
Right. Yeah, I mean, yeah, that would be... a bad idea. Mm-hmm. And it would also just be bad for people because they'd be dying. They'd either be dying.
Right. Generally, you shouldn't murder people. Which I think
that's a great PSA. We're gonna use that excerpt. Mm-hmm. I'm just gonna let people know. Hey, it's best not to murder.
Right.
People.
Mm-hmm. Situational
people. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, it's best not to murder anyone.
Right.
Whether you think they deserve it or not, mm-hmm. maybe you should just take a step back, take a breath, mm-hmm. and think.
Right. I think a lot of people deserve a lot of things. When I'm driving and someone cuts me off, mm-hmm. I think that they deserve to crash their car instantly.
Absolutely.
But that's not a good thing.
A blaze of glory. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but yeah, that's always not the best thing.
No.
I had this recent encounter where I was on the road, and when someone cut me off, instead of honking or like yelling or rolling down when they drove by, I just shook my head very slowly and looked disappointingly at them, and they looked devastated.
Good, yeah. It's best to not be mad, but disappointed.
Yeah, I hope that they... I was like, oh my God, I guess the secret is to just be my mother on the road.
They drove home and instantly went to their room and thought about what they did.
I think so. I think they may have told their significant other at dinner, I did something horrible today, and I felt immediate regret.
I'm going to go to bed without dessert.
I'm going to bed now. Yep. It's 7 p.m.
I'm not even going to stay up for Jeopardy today.
No Jeopardy. I'm going to punish myself. I'm not going to even record it. Not going to do that.
Nope.
No, not at all.
The greatest punishment of all is not seeing Alex Trebek in all his glory.
Alex Trebek is great. How many people do you think are recording Jeopardy to watch later? Like, it's too late for them.
Well, here's the thing. I think that there's a critical point where you are a person who is so interested in Jeopardy that you would record it. But you're probably so old that you don't know how to work the TiVo.
Right. So, yeah, the old horrible combination mm-hmm. of being too old to understand technology and wanting to reap its benefits.
Right.
Reap.
So I think the real question is, like, how many, like 30 or so year old sons are asked
helping
by
out.
Their parents,
right,
how do I record Jeopardy?
And then, see, I like that idea that you think that they're like 30. Because that would imply their parents are about 55, sometimes 50,
well,
maybe 60. And those people in your mind are the most incompetent of old people, the youngest of the old.
The problem. I was born to a mother who was 31 when she had me.
Okay,
so,
yeah.
Like, both my parents are
old
always
as balls.
Been, in my mind, old. Like,
oh,
so
yeah,
old.
Right, right.
So I just imagine that, like, anyone older than me, their parents have got to be...
Oh, they've got to be ancient.
Either ancient or dead, so... dead people don't need TiVo.
So then you speak very carefully about people's parents when you meet someone that's older than you.
Right.
Like, oh, well, when your parents were around, God rest them. and like, what are you talking about? My mom's here. She just got back from the gym. She's fine. She's real chipper. And then, but you just, like, you know, pour one out for them too. They're dead. They're long gone.
Absolutely. I mean, my parents are, you know, my dad just turned 60. They're at the brink.
That's not too bad. I think my mother will be 60 in the next year or two. Maybe she's older. I don't know. She started having children late as well, because mm-hmm. She was just like, I just want kids. I like teaching them. I just want my own. And she was an old hag by
and
then.
Your mom is Roz from Monsters, Inc.
Yes, of course. My mother is Roz from Monsters, Inc. She's not, well, you know, the character is based on her.
Okay.
But she looks just like her. Looks just like
including
her.
Including the slug body.
Yeah, slug body. Well, not a lot of people have seen me.
You have a strong family resemblance.
Thank you. I have a face for radio, very much so, that I am part slug mm-hmm. on my mother's side. And I do some stage performances, you know. That's why I dress up so much. I dress up to cover up, once again, the Protestant.
Yep.
I was a Protestant. It was drilled in me. Mm-hmm. And so now I just cover up all of my faults with expensive clothing to show the public.
Well, see, if it's expensive, though, that's a sin, too. You got to wear burlap. You got to wear sackcloth and ashes.
Yeah, we're 21st century.
Acquiring sackcloth.
Absolutely. I eat a lot of shellfish, too. I eat so much shellfish. I pierce my body. Mm-hmm. I haven't gotten any tattoos yet, but I plan on just being one big tattoo someday.
And then with a tattooed slug man, you could easily join a sideshow.
Oh my God, absolutely.
Once
or
the
gang.
Lease is up, yeah, once the lease is up on the submarine, you should
yeah.
head to shore and join an old-timey circus.
You think this sub is leased? I don't know if that means you think it's in better condition than it should be, or it's in worse condition. Because people usually take care of their leases, don't they? I just want to let you know, this is not a lease.
Okay, well,
we own this boat. We stole this from a couple of ex-KGB. I can't talk about that. Sorry, Johnny, I'm sorry.
How dare
okay.
you?
Okay, I get it. I won't talk about
yes.
it. Finally, he says something that makes sense. Your input is very odd, Johnny. You have strange input.
You have strange feet.
Very well. Once again, I don't even understand. But you look at this submarine when we surface, you can only see part of it.
Mm-hmm.
So you just you basically know the inside.
Mm-hmm.
And we have, of course, this replica of my apartment.
Right.
Built inside the submarine.
Very, very down to the letter detail.
Have you been to my apartment?
Yeah. There was.
How do you know what my apartment looks like?
I don't actually think you were there. No, you were there. You were asleep. Never mind.
I was there as well.
Very well. So when you came into my apartment while I was sleeping, I expect the lights would have been out. But you think this looks similar?
Yeah.
This replica we have built?
I was wearing night vision goggles, so maybe I wasn't getting as much detail.
Well, we did paint this entire sub green, so that would be the hue. This very similar weird green hue.
Mm-hmm.
Man, those night vision goggles aren't cheap. Where'd you get those?
I stole them from someone else's house while they were sleeping.
It was my house.
You do a lot of sneaking in.
I have nocturnal kleptomania.
Oh, this is an incredible revelation. Nocturnal kleptomania,
mm-hmm.
which from the Latin, kleptominus, and Latin noctur,
mm-hmm.
which means that you, well, first of all, I'm sorry for you only having 4 weeks to live. And second of all, it means you steal stuff at night.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So do you steal stuff from people's homes, or did you start with graves? I mean, whenever I think of someone stealing something at night, I imagine it's just grave robbers.
Well, graves are the goal. I mean, you got to train a lot in
so,
houses.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. This is something new.
Right.
So where do you start?
Well, you start in your own home, stealing your own things. There's not much of a thrill
you
in it.
You start in your own home, yeah. stealing your own things. From whom?
It was me.
From yourself.
So how do you trick yourself into thinking that you no longer own something and it is... is it just your past self you're stealing from then?
It's from your, like, your awake self, your daytime self.
So, this is a strange duality you have drawn for me. Now, I love philosophy, so this is fascinating to me. You think your awake self
mm-hmm.
and your nocturnal self, perhaps your subconscious self, mm-hmm. are two different creatures altogether.
Right, well, because the daytime one doesn't steal anything. I'm a law-abiding citizen, but at night... There I go, you know, sneaking into people's houses.
So is this a like something you do while sleepwalking?
Yeah, I'm only semi-conscious for it.
Oh, okay. It's incredible.
Mm-hmm.
So when you wake up and you were stealing your own things at mm-hmm. first, was it were you just noticing that things were moved around? Or were they in a pile on your bed like you're some sort of dragon? And you're like, oh, I must have all these valuables with me.
They were in, like, big cartoony bags that had dollar signs on them. And when I woke up, I thought this was promising, you know, a bag full of money. And I looked in, and I was like, this is my own Nerf gun and golden buffalo statue. And
that golden buffalo statue, not nearly worth anything close to that Nerf gun.
No, not even close.
It's too heavy, too. But you get in that bag, and you don't know, and it looks like a bag of goodies.
Right. And then, I mean, it was, I have fine taste, so.
So whenever you steal from yourself, it's always a good take.
Right, it wasn't, you know.
You're always
succeeding. I wasn't disappointed,
yeah. Right. So then you moved on to stealing from other people's homes at night.
Right.
In your sleep, of mm-hmm. course. So what, do you recall these later when you wake up? Or do you ever go to these people and apologize for your nocturnal self?
No, never apologize.
Oh, okay.
Just... You know, live the same way that I do when I'm awake, which is always assume that I'm right.
Oh, okay. Well, I can respect that.
Right.
I like that aspect.
So then it comes back to me in like a reverse That's So Raven, where I'm not seeing the future. I'm only seeing the past.
Oh, man. I would love to see. I loved That So Raven. When I was, I mean, I don't even think I was that young. I think I was in middle school when that was ending its popularity. That's So Raven. reverse That's So Raven. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, tell me this. Do you recall your first person, the first person you stole from that was not yourself?
Yeah, it was the neighbor when I was, let's see, I started stealing from myself probably around ninth grade.
Okay.
Right, so,
Was it frightening at first? Was it with this discovery that you were...
I mean,
stealing.
It was just, I just assumed that my brother and sister were, like, messing with me, you know?
Oh, I see. Right. So they were just, you thought, yeah, I mean, always blame it on the siblings.
Sure.
Blame obviously. It on the kids. That's what the adults do in, like, horror movies.
Exactly.
What are the kids doing? Why are you stacking up boxes of Cheetos and Oreos in the night? Like, we're not doing that. We're not insane. We're just kids. I love that. I think it was a movie, Dark Skies. Someone had removed the pictures from all of their frames and then, like, stacked... Oreos on top of each other, like some sort of mastermind of and they're like, oh, these kids.
That is too much work for a non-supernatural being to do.
Exactly. Like, that's supernatural beings only have that kind of time because they're like time travelers, essentially.
Right. Like, only if you're alive, the only kind of prank is like minimum work for maximum payoff.
Absolutely. So you can just snicker at it, put it on YouTube.
Right. The undead, though, they, first of all, probably died a long time ago. I've never seen, like, a modern-day ghost. They're all, like, turn-of-the-century ghosts.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a great prank for the turn of the century.
Right.
Because, first of all, you have so many framed pictures, you must be a king.
Right.
Second of all...
I want all these pictures.
Right.
Just the pictures, though.
Right.
Because
not
I'm
fringe.
Not... Yeah, I'm not some sort of...
I'm not a weirdo.
Yeah, I'm not
I just
some
want
sort
the pictures.
Of weirdo.
Second of all, you have access to that many Oreos. You are definitely a king at that point.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean,
some
like,
sort of glutton.
Sweets and fat, just right
sins,
there.
Sins, again. Bringing it back to the theme. All right. Well, speaking of themes, well, that's also a terrible segue. We're going to take a quick break, and then when we come back, we'll have more of Faith. We'll have more of the Unbelievables, more of Johnny. Johnny, you're being weird again.
When
okay.
The overlord
but more of the Unbelievables in a moment.
The blood
Stay
of the
tuned.
North.
Welcome to this week's commercial for the Lousy Wrestling Podcast. I'm Sean.
I'm Derek.
And we have been voted the number one shittiest wrestling podcast in America. Listen to us talk about wrestling.
Poor wrestling.
Thought about like how much of a song I can play on this podcast without it getting flagged for some sort of copyright problem.
3 seconds.
But there we go. We played that long intro.
Rolling those dice.
Rolling those dice. Oh, but you know, it'll be fine.
I mean, I don't think Jim Morrison's going to take too much of an issue with it.
Yeah, I don't think so. I don't think he's going to call me up and be like, hey, Mike. Hey, Mike. Listen to me. I don't know how. What does Jim Morrison sound like in just speech? What do you think? Welcome back to the Unbelievables, by the way. I am Mike Calhoun. I have my co-host Johnny, excuse me, and of course, our guest
is here.
But what do you think Jim Morrison sounds like just in speech? Or at least now he doesn't say much at all.
I mean, I can't imagine what he would sound like. Probably, I mean, he was very good looking.
He was a good looking man.
So I can only think of like shitty, good looking, like... fuckboys, just like,
so
hey,
you think
girl.
He spoke like a kind of a bro?
Yeah.
Kind of like he approached women in a very objectifying manner.
Right, just like...
That's sad.
I mean,
a sad way to think, Faith. I'm sad for you.
I've never been accused of optimism, I will say. That.
Well, yeah, okay. We won't lay that on you either. We won't say such things. welcome back to the Unbelievables. That was The Doors. Riders on the Storm. Appropriate, a little bit, kind of. We're kind of going through a storm here. It's very stormy out. We're docked in the Northeast Ohio area to meet Faith here. She's from the Northeast Ohio area. Not always, though, right? Or have you always been here?
I was raised here, and then I had a prodigal son moment where I moved to Massachusetts for a year.
Okay.
Went to Gordon College.
Gordon.
And then I came back because it turns out that when your entire family lives in a state, and you move several states from them, but you're still young enough that you are obligated to come to family functions.
Oh, I don't feel like you should be obligated at all.
My family feels differently.
Oh, of course. Those Protestants.
Those Protestants are a very tight-knit group.
Very tight-knit. Very wound up. Very tightly.
Yes.
Extremely wound up. Oh, yeah. Confirmed. Bottled in. Mm-hmm. Just so tense.
Don't let it.
You can bounce a quarter off their tense neck muscles.
Bounce a quarter. Because everyone knows that's how you test the density of an object. You
right,
know?
It's the ultimate tension test.
Gold is very, very dense. You bounce a quarter right off of it.
Right off it.
Just get 3 points, you know, for the, there you go. Oh, boy. Well, we're here with Faith. We're having a nice one-on-one. We're going to do that. Johnny, of course, will chime in from time to time.
You will hear from me when you are spoken to.
Okay. Once again, very strange. But yeah, we're just going to have a one-on-one. No interruptions at all. We're not expecting any sort of thing that...
let me in. Oh. Yeah. Is anybody in there?
What's going... Just come on in. The door's open. Just oh, make your way in. Hello, sir. Yeah, we're recording a podcast in here.
Podcast.
Yeah, well, it's kind of like a radio show. You are incredibly old. Oh my good heavens!
Thank you for letting me in.
Of course.
This heat wave and the sun. It's. I don't think I could have handled another minute.
A heat wave, you say?
Yeah. Oh.
Were you just outside?
I'm so thirsty. Do you have
a... Of course. Here, please. Have some water. Here you go.
I needed this. Lips are very chapped.
You look like death. You look like you're on death's door. Instead, you're on ours.
It's so hot out there. The sand's, like, lifting up off of the ground.
I don't know what you may be talking about. We're experiencing a terrible snowstorm up here in the northeast area. Did you just come from outside?
I was outside, yeah.
What? Yes.
Are we in the wrong spot? Did we move?
Closer.
I remember moving the sub.
I haven't noticed any movement.
Right. I think we would.
The gods do very strange things with the weather. That's how you know they're happy or not.
Okay. Well,
right now, clearly there's somebody's upset.
Oh, somebody is upset. One of the gods.
Probably Marduk is.
Marduk.
Hail Marduk.
That is the large cartoon dog from the Sunday Funny Papers now. Marmaduke?
Marmaduke. Oh, Funny Papers.
You act like you don't know what that is. So you're unaware of what the Funny Papers are. I mean, you look like a very incredibly old man. I expect you to know something.
Paper sounds like papyrus.
Mm-hmm. The amusing papyruses?
Yeah. May I ask who you are, sir?
Since
you are in my
traveled
summary.
The sands of time across distances and past things.
So, is that your name? It's an incredibly long name.
Yeah, well, names, you know, change with, you know, various tribes and caravans.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Are you with a current caravan now?
No. I purposely walked away from those.
Oh, you purposely... So that's how you found your way to our submarine.
Those guys were... I'll be honest about you. They were assholes. Those guys were assholes.
The caravan you were traveling with was a bunch of assholes.
I'm writing them out. They've been written out. Written out.
They've been written out of the time. They are this chronicle of time. May it be appropriate that I perhaps call you the Chronicler?
That's one of the names.
One of the names that you go by. Wow, how incredibly fortunate and accurate of me to guess.
I like the storyteller.
You like the storyteller
of things that happened.
Okay, yeah. So you just
a good one. That's a good one.
That seems a little cumbersome, if I'm being honest.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Seems very. You have to have a lot of responsibility.
The storyteller of things that happened. It doesn't. Quite flow.
Yeah, no one.
But you know what? It's your name, and you get to pick it.
I suppose you're also a storyteller of things that happened, and you've been doing it for quite some time, Miss.
One could say.
Yeah, I often tell stories.
Of things that happened.
Yeah. Does it count as things that happened if they are wildly embellished?
Wildly embellished?
Yeah. Yeah. So you start at something that happened, but then you make it much better.
People need to be interested in.
Right.
In the readings.
Right. So.
Of what happened.
Okay. So then I then am a storyteller of things that happened.
Yeah. Well, isn't that something that you do? Or are you strictly 100% accurate in your retellings?
Of course.
Oh, you strive for accuracy. Yes, I see. Yeah. Well, that's very admirable, to be very honest.
In a very entertaining and interesting way that, you know, can be interpreted, you know, as truth or fake, I guess.
So you're saying you retell the historical events as they happened, but sometimes people have to read in them and they determine whether they're real or fake based on what you've written down? I think you're just going a roundabout way of saying that you also lie. You embellish as well.
No. This is, you know, I trust, you know, the listener of the stories that happened to be able to.
You trust the person that hears and reads these stories to determine whether they're okay.
Why are they going to sit and listen?
If they're not, I guess, entertaining, perhaps?
Yeah. If there isn't a sword going through someone's eye.
I mean, that does happen from time to time in real life.
Fall into a pit of a million snakes.
That's a lot of snakes.
Yeah.
Are these all things that you've encountered?
Yeah, well, yes. Yes, yes.
Well, tell me about these snakes specifically.
It wasn't a pit.
Oh, it wasn't a pit.
It was a hollowed log.
Oh, a hollowed log with a million snakes. This is an incredibly large log.
It was one snake, but.
So you are saying that you do embellish on your stories here.
A million snakes.
I don't think anyone can mistake one.
There's numbers.
There are numbers. That is true. Numbers. The numbers were invented by the Arabians.
But it still happened.
I guess I'll just have to take your word for it, chronicler, which is what I'm going to call you now.
That's one of the names.
One of the names.
One of the good names.
Can you tell me any other names you may have gone by over the years?
Marduk.
You imply that you're incredibly old. I mean, I have to say, you look spectacularly old. You may be the oldest person I've ever seen.
It's the sun. The sun did that.
The sun did that, so you just look like leathery-faced
man. Many weathers, many seasons of joy and sorrow and, you know, many semi-famous kings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, have you known a lot of kings in your day?
Yeah, kings, priests.
These are all people that you tell stories
guys
of.
That, and well, sometimes the story's just boring and I throw it away. And
so it has a historical story that may have some sort of significance, you know.
I trained some famous people, like Ptolemy's a good one.
Ptolemy. I'm unaware of author.
He was a pupil of mine.
Interesting.
Yeah. Ptolemy, you have to educate me. I don't know Ptolemy. I don't know his name.
He wrote a bunch of bullshit on.
A bunch of bullshit.
I was with the Greeks and.
Right, and he did that cool thing where his name was spelled P T O L O M Y, I think.
Pterodactyl.
Yeah.
Pterodactyl. Oh yeah.
He was Ptolemy.
And the funny thing about Ptolemy is he's the only one that would pronounce the P.
Oh, so he would call himself Ptolemy, but he wouldn't let anyone else say that.
He would say, it's going to catch on, guys. Yeah.
Obviously, it did not. Well, so Ptolemy. I'm going to use his name because he's not going to stop me.
Yeah.
Let's see him try.
Look out, I've heard Ptolemy wields a knife.
He can just try and get me right in the knee, and he won't. What specifically did he tell you anything that he didn't write down himself? Ptolemy, did you meet this man?
Yeah, well,
you did meet him. You met Ptolemy.
Yes.
And what did he have anything to say to you? Did you go on any adventures of any sort?
We corresponded.
You corresponded with him, but
he was my pupil.
He was your pupil.
Yes.
You are incredibly old.
Corresponded with him. Yeah.
Okay. In what way, can you tell us a story? I mean, you are an incredibly good source of information. I mean, historical information. Everyone should tap into you for stories. I'd love to hear a story specifically about Ptolemy or anyone else you may have met.
I don't wander the oceans and the deserts and the mountains and the forests.
These are all things people wander, yes?
And the jungles.
Okay.
To just what about tell the prairies? Stories.
Now, what's your stance on swamps?
Swamps? Oh.
That's actually a great question. Thank you, Faith. Something I would have expected from Johnny. Johnny really dropped the ball.
I said prairies.
We circumvent the swamps.
We? Are there more than more I'm people like you?
You can't just wander by yourself unless you really hate those assholes, well, like those last guys.
Something that you were doing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this caravan, how long had you been with them?
Many moons and nights.
Many moons and nights. I'll take that a few months and a few days with this caravan. Now, were you traveling on foot with this caravan?
Yeah. Yes.
Is that how you normally travel on foot?
On foot.
It's a lot of walking. Mm-hmm, it's like Forrest Gump.
So much walking. And every once in a while, there's I'll get a sick camel.
A sick camel, specifically sick. Now, do you ask for your camel to be sick?
No, that's why I can't afford anything.
Yeah,
and I'm just kind of the guy that's hanging out and getting the scraps.
Oh, I see. And then every once in a while, you're gifted a very sick camel.
But history will absolve me.
History will absolve you.
I made that saying up.
Okay. Well, that's actually a significant thing to have. Mm-hmm. In your repertoire of writings. Did you write it down at least, or did you just say it?
Yeah, we were on an island in Cuba.
Cuba is an island, huh? You're right. It must have been pretty recent because I don't think it's always been called Cuba.
In the island. What do you call those?
Oh, I don't know. What is that called?
I mean,
is that a key? No, it's not a key.
When there's water surrounded by land, I think that's a lagoon. So an island inside a lagoon.
Would just be another island, I guess. Super island,
maybe.
Still
like Islandception.
Yeah, it is kind of like Islandception. Are you aware of this phrase? It's kind of an internet meme. Okay, maybe not. Maybe I'll refrain.
Going too far.
So you're on this island within Cuba, within this island. And with whom, may I ask, when you developed this phrase that you...
Two young men.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Were they travelers? Were they traveling with you? Did you meet them?
No, they were upset with the...
They were upset?
Yeah, with their whatever form of government.
Okay.
It's always someone upset with somebody's form of government.
Isn't that just... Oh, man, why can't people just be happy?
Through the ages of time, someone is always upset.
Of course.
With their particular form of government.
Do you recall the first form of government that you encountered? How old are you? You're an old man.
I'm very old, man.
Yeah. So you, what was the first form of government you remember chronicling? There's some very ancient civilizations.
I got the old noggin.
Oh, well, I mean, did you bring any books?
No, the books are too heavy.
Oh, to carry around. Where do you store them then?
Well, I leave them.
You leave them. Where do you leave them?
And then other people find them.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, that's not too bad. You're spreading knowledge that way. But if you don't have copies, then it's kind of lost. I mean, unless they keep it and make copies.
And usually someone reads it and then paraphrases it down through the line, the generation.
Do they?
Yeah.
You have a lot of faith in people.
Oh, yeah. What are you talking about? This.
No, I don't expect people books.
That's why we tell the stories with the million snakes.
I understand
for the accuracy.
So you tell these tales with embellishments for the purpose of people being entertained by them. So then they will retell them. Oh, I see. Now I'm getting it. I'm getting a little peek in the old noggin of the chronicler here. Well, I'd still like to know about these civilizations. What's the
oldest one
that you may have encountered? Yes,
the oldest conflict.
Oh, okay, even better
that I recall.
Am might take some time. He's got an old brain.
He's got to crank the Model T crank on the front of it.
He's got that crank in the front.
It was my mother.
Your mother, okay.
Upset with my father.
So in the civilization of your home.
And because he didn't come back to the tent.
Oh.
Soon enough.
So he didn't arrive soon enough. He arrived late.
And he was tipsy.
Oh, so he was out drinking a bit. All right, all right. Where was your father?
It was a desert somewhere.
He was out in the desert. Yeah. So you spent a lot of time in the desert.
Deserts are big.
Do you like the desert, maybe? Maybe
that's where the action is.
That's where the action is to you. Really, the action is in the desert.
Yeah, nobody goes to the swamps for action. Because what a
miserable
place.
There's plenty of swamp action.
Oh, yeah.
Plenty of things happen in the Swamp Chronicler. Lots of things.
That's the low class.
Inferior.
I didn't take you for much of a person that went in class.
You think I go listen to the kings, and that's where the good
you think the
scraps
kings,
of food are.
You think
are,
kings
yeah.
hang out in the damn desert?
They do hang out in the desert.
No, if I recall accurately.
Since the dawn of time, the kings have been in the...
I think you just spent a lot of time in the Mesopotamian area. It wasn't always a desert. I mean, around it, outside the Fertile Valley, was some desert. But kings didn't normally occupy. I'm calling into question your accuracy here. This might be a significant embellishment, not for the good of the storytelling. I dare say.
I mean, I'm just mostly wondering what happened in a swamp that prompted you to now avoid them forever.
The only people that live in swamps are people that can't afford to live, you know, in the good, in the better places.
And to you, that's the desert. Wait, do you just value dryness? Do you hate being wet? What encounter did you have with swamps that made you hate them so?
It's the bugs.
So you don't
lots
like bugs?
Lots of bugs.
I mean, I can relate. I grew up in like a swampy town.
There's always yellow fever is a big one.
Right, yellow fever.
You ever seen yellow fever?
I've never seen it.
Old yellow Jack come to pay a visit.
Is that the nickname you gave
him? You're vomiting blood from every orifice of your body and crying for your mom.
Did you lose a lot of people to the yellow fever?
That's the swamp for you. No way, I'm out.
Did you lose a lot of your companions to?
No, I told one story and I threw it away because it was such an awful, miserable experience.
You told one story and you threw it away, so you didn't even keep the story, an accurate story. I mean, that's an important story to tell because that maybe it'll make other people avoid swamps. Isn't that what you want?
No.
You want people to go to these terrible swamps.
If you keep the lower class in the swamps, they can never crowd your desert.
I guess. Man. Do you own any land yourself?
No.
You just wander the world as a drifter.
No possessions, no nothing. Just the robe on my back.
I see, yeah. It's very tattered and very old. Have you had this one robe?
Easy to get the charcoal sticks for the writing and out of the fire from the night before.
Yeah, I suppose.
Mm-hmm. It's a good life.
It's a good life.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. Because the people I'm telling the stories of things that actually happened, they want to be remembered.
They want to be the people you write about. They're usually people that want to be remembered. So you only write about.
And if I like them, then I definitely.
I see.
Help to tell the story.
You're like a little bit of a corrupt journalist.
But
there.
Sometimes, corrupt. I have nothing. What do I have? I just have my stories.
Well, I mean, you're only writing about people that want to be written about and you think are interesting. I guess that's just
and
maybe
the good,
creative
and the
writing.
Good scraps. Don't forget the good scraps.
They give you good scraps?
The good scraps.
So you just work for for scraps from... okay. I mean, I can't blame you for that. We all got to eat. Hey, I had a pretty good...
That's what's best in life, almost.
Eating is the best thing in life?
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, okay.
Would you agree, Faith, that eating is... I mean, I like eating.
Generally speaking, eating is good. Depends on what's on the menu, I suppose.
Sex is good.
I was going to say, I think sex
in your 20s.
Okay. Well, that's been a long time for you, Chronicle.
A long time ago.
Very long time. So, for you, even though you're a very old man and you've lived for quite some time.
I'm young. I'm young and comparable.
Right. That's what I'm getting at. So, your 20s still only applied, though. You only had a good 10 years of good sex. And then afterwards, even though you're a young old man, you just gave it up? Abstinence now?
Yeah, for the purity of the storytelling.
Oh, so it taints your storytelling. Mm. So, in your 20s, did you tell some very, raunchy stories?
The stories I told in the 20s weren't very good. I was learning.
Oh, I see.
Still learning.
Still learning to tell stories.
Trying to make a name for myself.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. Who
did you meet in your 20s that was the most prominent, you would say? Did you... I'm kind of trying to pin down a date here. Maybe I'm overstepping my bounds.
So long ago.
Oh, you
now,
don't recall.
Just for clarity, was it your 20s or the 20s?
I did hear you say that. Yeah, the 20s.
That was both.
Oh, so you had a very prolific...
Every 100 years. So the 1620s, the 1720s, the 1820s, these are all...
Oh, yeah, you got to go way back.
Well...
Like the
20s.
Like 20s
the
BC.
20s BC, yeah.
A lot of numbers.
And then 220 BC. Wow, interesting. So each of those decades, you had a prolific sex life, is what you're saying. Your 20s.
No.
Was it prolific or was it just high quality?
Every once in a while. The old chronicler would...
I see. Take off the old robe. Yeah, I'm a little grossed out after looking at it. Please keep your robe on, Chronicler. I beg of you. Wow, this has been really fascinating. And actually, what I'd like to do, since we have the two of you in here, you guys have never met. This is a little fun game that we like to play every once in a while. It's called...
I'm surprised you're letting her sit at the table.
Why might make you say that, Chronicler?
Oh, I mean, women...
Of course, and then we go to our next segment. What a perfect timing. And our next segment is called Outdo Me. Sorry to frighten you, Chronicler. You didn't realize where the music was coming from at first. I didn't mean to scare you at all, but it's just, you know, modern technology. Sometimes you got to get used to it. I mean, you're in a submarine.
I've seen a lot of changes, and nothing phases me. This submarine is very strange. I hope you didn't pay for this.
Oh, boy. All right. Moving on to our game. All right. This game is very simple. It's called Outdo Me, and the game's rules go like this. I will pit our two guests against each other, and then me and Johnny will be the judges. The game's rules are thus.
Loser gets death.
One of my guests will say a word. Or actually, no, it doesn't have to be a word. Just a noun. A thing. It could be two words like peanut butter or Roger Rabbit. I don't know why those are the two things that came to my mind, but one of them will say something, and then the next person will reply with something that is clearly and objectively better. They must, and they can't delay. Well, I mean, you can take a little time to think. But we, me and Johnny, will judge whether that thing is better indeed, and the winner of the round is the person that stumps the other person, or they clearly say something that is not better than the other thing. Do you guys understand the rules?
I believe so. So it's a battle of nouns.
It's the battle of nouns, indeed. You must outdo the other person with your noun.
All right.
One word.
Well, it doesn't have to be one word.
Two
just
words.
A concept.
A concept.
You know what concepts are. You're a writer.
Very much so.
Okay, good. A noun. Yeah. Okay.
I have to brush up on my history here.
A thing.
Real quick. Give me a second.
Okay. Brush up on your history.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, in that case, then I'll let you rest your mind and I'll have faith begin. It can be anywhere. If you want to start low, that's best.
Okay. Pudding.
That's a good entry. Pudding. It's good. It's good on its own.
Bread pudding.
Not edible.
Bread pudding. I have had bread pudding, and I have to say, it was on par with the other puddings I've had, but I think if I was given the choice, though, I would take bread pudding. What do you think, Johnny?
Foolish.
Well, once again, I just don't even know. Okay, I will say bread pudding is indeed better.
It is.
Fair enough. Spatula.
A spatula. Now, a spatula, I would say so. You need a tool.
It will not fit. Sometimes, in
this is what happens sometimes. Our contestants will keep to a certain theme, even though they have free reign to choose anything on earth, anything
human
in the English,
perhaps device.
Other languages. I would welcome it. I would welcome other languages. But people usually stick to one theme, such as wrestling we've had, and now treats, it would seem.
I have been watching a lot of the Great British Baking Show.
You did say off mic that you have been watching a lot of baking. I understand.
Stuttering, you fool.
And what I will accept, the spatula is indeed better than bread pudding. You need a spatula for lots of things.
A good tool.
Absolutely.
You can do lots.
You can do a lot.
Chicken egg.
Chicken egg. Mm-hmm. Now, I love eggs.
Yes.
Now, I gave up most meats. I still eat fish, but I love eggs. And it's a good source
they
of protein.
They are good for birthing humans.
Eggs are better than spatulas.
Okay.
Especially chicken eggs. Chicken eggs specifically.
I'll change course a bit, and I'll go with antler.
Now, antler. Antler, of course, the thing that grows out of a deer's head. Mm-hmm. Now, it's used for combat at times. It's used to intimidate other predators.
Antlers are insects.
Is it better than egg?
I feel that you're biased because you just said how much you love eggs.
I do love eggs.
Ask Johnny.
We'll have to ask Johnny. Johnny, what do you say about this antler versus egg controversy?
Antlers are weakest insect.
His head's smoking, too, right now.
His head is... Johnny, what is going on with you?
Technical problems, I guess.
Technical problems? What do you mean? Is there something going on with his brain?
To call mechanic.
Yeah,
my
move away from him.
He's fine. My circuits.
Johnny!
Please inhale.
You gotta, like... Oh, my
inhale.
God. Leave the room or something.
No.
Well, I guess without Johnny being a separate judge, I'm going to have to give this round to the chronicler. Chicken eggs specifically are indeed better than antlers. I'm not sure where the antler thing came from, but
in a fight, an antler would beat a chicken egg 100% of the
time.
In
a fight, yes, I would say so. That is good rationale. I'm not going to argue with that. But
I've seen some damage done with chicken
with
eggs.
Some eggs, yeah. Oh. Justin Bieber specifically got himself in some hot water with some eggs. Just sure did damage to himself, so his own reputation. All right, let's do another round. We got to do this 2 out of 3. Chronicler is the winner of the first round, which means he starts the second round.
I'm starting the second round
of Outdo Me. Indeed. Do you need me to remind you of the rules?
The rules.
Please tell me I don't have to remind you of the rules.
No.
Okay, good. Got a good old mind on a good old head on your shoulders.
Grizzly bear.
Oh, wow. Starting very strong. Grizzly bears are, well, I wouldn't say they're great because they're notoriously awful to every other creature. They eat their own children when they're hungry, which is disgusting, but they are a monstrous and powerful creature.
True.
And good in the Roman circus.
They're good in the Roman circus. Mm. All right. I'm sure you've experienced many times.
Shakespearean bear baiting, let's not forget. When you chain them up in a pit,
and then you just
poke them with sticks.
Poke them, literally. Where that phrase came from. Chronicler, did you recall when that phrase was coined? Don't poke the bear?
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
You do? Good, I'm glad. I figured like that's something
I don't forget anything.
Oh, you don't? Seems
that's got to be traumatic.
Seems.
How about those world wars, am I right?
Yeah, and a man that it was so knowledgeable of previous history, you'd think it would hold you responsible for not warning us of our horrible, you know, even this current election, which, you know, we have yet to see the horrible, disastrous effects, but we've seen some. Man, I feel like you really could have given us some guidance.
It's just on repeat, man.
What are you smoking some reefer over there? What was this smoke coming out of Johnny's head?
Lotus leaf once in a while.
Lotus leaf!
What I'm telling you is, you know, these. How many times you got to repeat the same story
Cadence has changed significantly, sir. I sound very, very hippie-ish. Oh man, I guess it just matches your long white beard and your long white hair. Oh boy. Well, okay. I guess I have to wait for Faith's response to the grizzly bear.
Yeah, grizzly bear. Malaria.
Malaria. Okay, so we're thinking. Let's break this down.
That's a good one.
Malaria, the killer of millions of people worldwide every year. Population control. Carried by the
scourge of the Cushites.
I'll take your word for it. Of course, you remember everything. Killed so many people in Africa from transference of from mosquitoes. Now, is it better than grizzly bears? I'm so sorry, Faith, but I'm going to have to say that malaria is not better than grizzly bears.
It's greater and it's
killing power.
Killing
power.
Yes.
Do you want
Hey, at least malaria doesn't eat its own young.
That's true. It can't. It doesn't have a mind. But if it could, would it? I bet.
And it's invisible.
It's invisible and it kills. All right. The chronicler has lobbied me into changing my opinion, and I will say yes, malaria is objectively better than grizzly bears. Oh boy, I hope I don't live to regret that and get malaria and then die as a grizzly bear just shakes his head at me as my life fades from my eyes. All right, chronicler, let's hear this response to malaria.
Lightning.
Lightning.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. All right. Lightning, of course. You know,
lightning.
The discharge of electrons from the sky to the earth. Very powerful.
It's the messenger of the gods.
Okay, of course.
Delivers so, messages.
Even more powerful. Yeah, yeah, of course. Arguably where fire may have been discovered by man from lightning. You know what? I will say that lightning is indeed better than malaria. I will give this, give that one to the chronicler. All right, Faith, what's your rebuttal on lightning? What's better than lightning? Anything on Earth? You guys have been very good at this round. Very diverse answers.
I'm going to say crude oil.
Crude oil. Mm-hmm. Okay. Crude oil is absolutely useful. Mm-hmm. It's strength. It has powered most of our electricity, which is lightning in a bottle, absolutely. We power our vehicles with it. I will say that crude oil is indeed better.
Please describe what crude oil is.
I think I just did. It's a long time ago, plants and animals died, and then it, through the pressure and heat of the earth, it became a sticky black substance. And it burns.
Oh, we call that pitch.
Pitch.
Pitch, where I'm from.
From where you're from.
In the desert.
Mm. Call it pitch.
The
pitch.
Useful in waterproofing your roofs.
And the boats. Mm, you can't sail an army of 100,000 soldiers to destroy the Polynesians.
Of course.
It's working.
Absolutely. All right, well, then.
Without pitch.
Pitch is obviously very valuable.
It's a good.
What might be better than it, chronicler?
Its value is great. Salt.
Ooh. Salt is indeed very useful.
People need salt.
It was used.
Salt beats pitch because it's how we pay for it when building the ships.
You would pay for the pitch with salt?
Yes.
I see. Absolutely. I mean, I completely believe it. Salt is super valuable, used to preserve foods for a very long time. And an interesting factoid, salt is the only mineral that humans consume on purpose. I'm sure we eat some dust from now and then and rocks from time to time. Anytime you guys ever have picnics on the beach, I hate that.
I hate it.
Then you just consume minerals without wanting to.
All the time.
It's just, oh, it's dreadful.
Brings your sandwich a whole new meaning.
Absolutely. I mean, you probably eat in the desert all the time because you spend so much time there.
The beach is hard to come by sometimes.
A beach is hard to come by.
I wasn't surprised to find a beach and see you guys, you know.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you were lucky, too, considering the harsh weather conditions, whether we say it's a blizzard or you say it's a harsh, dry desert.
Heat wave.
Either way.
Those temperatures were probably like in the 200s.
Good God.
Celsius or Fahrenheit?
It was hot. Okay. Hot.
It was very hot. I don't think he knows measurements properly, but he's just in the 200s.
Some people actually melted.
Okay. Some people melted.
Yeah, I saw that.
You watched people melt outside.
That's how hot.
And didn't think to mention that earlier.
That's why I said, thank you for letting me in.
He did show gratitude, but I didn't really. That didn't look like a I just watched people melt look on his face.
I'm probably going to look through his refrigerator after this is all said.
My God. I've had a guest in the past that does something similar. And it's just, I guess I just let him, you know? He's just a friendly dude. And I just go, all right, raid my refrigerator. Feel free. All right, cool. Well, let's hear from Faith, the follow up to Salt. It's a tough one.
It's super tough. I'm going to have to say Saffron.
Saffron?
Saffron.
Like the city in Pokemon?
No, like the rarest spice.
Like the city in Pokemon in which you face Misty, the trainer that has water Pokemon, or the spice.
Right. The rarest spice.
We will destroy
the
it.
Rarest spice. Mm-hmm. Well, just from those parameters, I gotta say, it's better than salt. It's more rare.
I know you could buy a couple virgins with the saffron.
Some saffron.
I couldn't.
Is that something you may have done in the past, Chronicler?
No, I just wrote about it.
Oh, you wrote about others
and drew
doing
pictures
it.
Too.
You must not have been in your 20s when you encountered the saffron.
Right, of course.
Oh, with spices, you.
Well. Okay, Chronicler. What rebuttal do you have to saffron?
Oh, now we're talking. You know,
we're back on level pegging here, where we're talking about spices.
I'm trying through so many things that.
What may have you encountered in life that is better than saffron?
Mediterranean sea slugs.
Mm-hmm. Mediterranean sea slugs.
From which the color purple is derived.
Not the play starring Oprah.
And, of course, Whoopi.
Right. But the
and Donald
the means
Glover.
By
or Danny
you,
Glover.
Yeah.
Donald Glover. They're the same people, of course.
No, that's the shells of which you grind up to produce purple dye, purple being the most rare dye color, which is why only royalty wore it.
Mm. Now, the shells were the source, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Mediterranean seashells, or sea slugs, excuse me, were the creature. Now, I'm going to have to say that saffron is extremely rare, tough to find, based on what I just learned 5 minutes ago. And sure, this dye may also be rare, but I don't think what came of it is of any significance. Some purple dye, we could have done without. But saffron, I just learned of its importance just now, and I'm going to say that saffron wins. Good sir.
Oh, are you telling me that? Yeah, saffron was tough to beat.
Well,
it was a fluke that you beat.
You lose valiantly, Chronicler, and I would move on to a third round, but we do not have any time. We have run out of time.
Across the sands of time.
Yes, of course.
I came here to.
Well, now you have chronicled this podcast.
I will remember. And leave the book somewhere for someone to find and read. about this. Oh, you saving my life.
Oh my God, this is unprecedented. I'm just
historic.
From this 1,000-degree weather.
It's getting hotter as we speak. Well, I we're happy to have had you. We're glad to protect you from the elements.
I wish we could have learned more about each other. And
well, maybe someday we'll see you again, Chronicler. Maybe someday you'll see us again. You are a very old man. Yeah, you seem like you're going to be around for a bit.
If I happen to wander around and see you guys, see a submarine.
Of course. Yeah. We're one of the few in the world you may encounter. Feel free to pop on in next time. You're very welcome now. Now that we know, I mean, at first I was a little weary, but thank you for joining us. We do have one more section, though. We have one more section of the show. Yeah, one last section, of course. That section is, what is it, Johnny?
It is your death.
Oh my God, I give up on him. He must be completely, the smoke was coming out of him. You saw, it was insane. I had to send him out of the room, and he's back.
You will lose your arms.
It's plugs. It's time for plugs.
You have no hope. Your eyes will be circuits. Your nose will be circuits. Your teeth will be the same.
This music reminds me of a Stygian funeral ceremony.
Oh, man. They must have had some incredible musical instruments at this funeral.
Yeah.
Those are some strange sounds to you, perhaps.
It was vocal work.
Oh, vocal. Wow. Mm. It's even more impressive. All right. Well, let's get started with our plugs. Chronicler, I don't know if maybe you... By plugs, we mean like any upcoming shows or something we may have, because this is a comedy podcast, of course. But you... maybe there's something you want to tell us about or tell the world to look out for. Maybe you'll get a book published rather than just leave it on the street.
Well, I've made a few appearances in recent times. I came across before that crap caravan I just bailed out of was a young man that very much enjoyed sports.
Sporting events, of course, yes.
The basketball he particularly enjoyed.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know whatever became of the Cleveland Cavaliers. Like, did they win? Did they lose? I guess I'll never know, but
Chris Klemm.
I have met him.
Wow.
Chris Klemm's Cavs Cast. He was nice. He let me eat the scraps from his table.
Of course. Yeah. What a small world. I actually know Chris Klemm. He's been on my show.
He's
talked to me in this submarine before. And he does have a podcast. You said you were kind of unaware of what those were.
I don't know what that is.
He does have a podcast called Chris Klemm's Cavs Cast, C4 Pod on Twitter. Check him out. He's on the Lousy Weather Media Network, just as we are on the Lousy Weather Media Network. And I'm happy to hear that you know him, and I'm happy to hear that you're plugging his show for him. That's something you recall. All right, great. Excellent. All right. Well, thank you, Chronicler. I'm sure he'll be appreciative as well, Mr. Chris Klemm will be.
And my latest book, you'll probably find it not near the swamps.
Yeah, nowhere near the swamps. Yeah. You ain't going anywhere close to there.
It's a series of flat stones stacked high on top of each other, about 2 feet up. It's a good story. Very good story.
I'm looking forward to, if I find it, I look forward to reading it. Absolutely. Faith, do you have any plugs? Do you have any social media you want people to follow you on, perhaps?
There's not much on the horizon, but if you'd like to follow me on social media, Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, it's all FaithBartle92 because I invented that name when I was in high school and didn't think about anything.
There you go. It's just like your first email address or your AOL username.
Ooh, it is not like my first email
address.
No. I was going to say it's very in that you make it and then you just go, ugh. Mm. I should have made something better.
Don't assume.
But I'd love to hear what your first username or email may have been.
Ooh. You know, it was not, it's not my proudest moment.
It's not your proudest moment? Okay. If you don't wish to disclose it, you don't have to.
It's, you might have to get some, few shots in me before I'm ready to divulge.
Oh, I understand.
It's, from the mind of sixth grade faith, which is not a good place to be.
I also had a similar situation making my first email, perhaps in sixth grade. I think it was Captain Mike. Captain Mike, I was not a captain of anything. One could arguably say I'm indeed the captain of this submarine now, which maybe it's appropriate.
I assumed you were the captain.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, sir.
It is. I mean, the hat that says captain is really kind of...
I might be projecting a bit that wearing this captain's hat that specifically says the word captain. Mm-hmm. That's not normally what captains wear. They just wear the hat, and people go, oh, that is the captain. But I want people to make no mistake. So I have this hat.
It's double captain hat.
Yeah, double captain all the way across the sky. All right. My plugs are, of course, listen to our show every week. We're going to be having, well, I'm not going to disclose that yet. I'm going to let that first part of the sentence squeak out, and then I'm going to say nothing else. But we have some great things on the horizon for this show. Thank you for listening, of course. If you want to follow us on Twitter, we are at Tunbelievables, that is T Unbelievables, or just look up Unbelievables Podcast. You can find us on Facebook, like our Facebook page. We post some things there. They're usually pretty similar to what's on Twitter, but Twitter's easiest. Listen to the Lousy Weather Media Network. Listen to all their shows. We just added Keeping It 99, a podcast also from the Northeast Ohio area, similar to the Lousy Weather Main Show. Chris Clem's Cavscast is actually based out of Chicago, but he is originally from the Northeast Ohio area, from Stowe, great city. Listen. Come to the Sad Boy Social Club sketch show. It is happening at Michelle's in Kent. At 8:30 sharp, because it will be ending at 9:30 sharp, and we only have an hour to fill. I don't care if Mike Polk Jr. is going to be in town. Come to our show anyway. So,
what day is that?
That is going to be the 25th of March, the month we are currently in. That is a Saturday. Please come to that show. You can see me all over the place. Many times I'm at Water Street Tavern, if I'm just hanging out or if I'm performing. But that's a fun show. Please go to that weekly show. It's in Kent, Water Street Tavern. Starts at 9, comedy time. All right, everyone. Goodbye. Thank you so much. I want to thank my guest, Faith. Thank you for coming back. It's been so long. Hopefully it's not as long next time. And then, of course, I want to thank the Chronicler.
Oh, because you guys saved me.
You know, you can stay on the ship as long as it may be boiling hot outside. Good. All right. Thank you guys so much. We will talk to you next week.
We will rape them. We will turn their flesh into Zen gardens. We will plant hot stones on their eyes. We will drill your holes.
This has been a Lousy Weather Media Network production. Find new episodes and archives at lousyweathermedia.com.